Good morning. It is 10:05 on Tuesday, July 12th, 2022, and this is time for the Board of County Commissioners to receive the clerk's suggested budget for fiscal year 2023. I am Commissioner Smith, also present as Commissioners White and Van Beek. Jen and Ross is our deputy clerk for this meeting. Joining us is Clerk Yamamoto and Chief Deputy Clerk Zach Wagner. I'm turning it, this is your meeting, turning it straight over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Good morning, everybody. So, the Controller and I have put together what I consider to be an unprecedented budget. I think you'll find it interesting, surprising, and I think it addresses a lot of issues. I have a lot of things to say. I have some opening remarks before I turn this over to Zach. And I'm going to try and keep this concise, but I think I'd like to address the public input meeting and my takeaway from that last night. As this board will recall, that was one of my suggestions, and the reason that was a board completely prior to this setting board now. I thought it didn't go very well as to how we had the public meeting. All the decisions were made, okay? And so basically what that turned into is just a complaint session from citizens, and their input was too late. So, but my takeaway from last night, and this is really no surprise, and that is the public does not understand property tax, nor do they understand county government finance. Most folks do not have the time or inclination to delve into the complexities and the nuances. I have worked with many people and disseminated information on social media. And I will tell you, given the complexities, most people's eyes glaze over in about 2 minutes. There's another problem to this, and it's a big problem. Most politicians do not understand property tax as well. And so how do people get their information? How do they get accurate information? There's six people in this county that understand property tax, and those people have a good handle on it. They reside in the assessor's office, the treasurer's office, and the clerk's office. The general public has been misled for years with people that supposedly are in the know, and have been talking about levy rates. The levy rate has one purpose: to see to it that taxing entities stay at or below the statutorily set rate. And what I'm talking about is when you hear politicians talk about, we lowered your levy rate. Well, that's going to happen with anytime you have new construction and you have growth. What they forget to mention is that, yeah, the levy rate went down, but your taxes went up. The other takeaway was, how many people showed up last night? Not very many. Why is that? I think some people have given up. Some of the people I've talked to have said, well, we elected you folks to do that job so we don't have to. The other takeaway I had that kind of irritated me to some degree was when somebody said, well, when I said what you're looking at is what the property tax request, with the idea being that the people see, if they have, again, the time to look at it, what the requests were with no decisions being made. Well, we can't even win on that score because we get told, well, these are fictitious numbers. So we can't win. it's a no-win situation there, which is, you know, it's kind of irritating. Here we are trying to be, provide transparency, but yet I think, what's my takeaway here, basically, bottom line, is I think we need to disseminate that material, but if you get 10 people in the same room talking about property tax, you're going to get 10 different ideas about what ought to happen. So, and this is just how it is. The leadership of an office or a department looks out for their best interest, and that's fine. Our job, the three of you and the two sitting here, is to look out for all the interests, look out for the county government, look out for our employees, and the taxpayer. So what we're going to do today with this presentation is address employees, and we're going to address property tax. Facilities, buildings, they're a necessity. However, a building does not make decisions. A building does no work. People do. An empty building does no good. We are caught up in a bidding war for employees. And unfortunately, I think we must play that game in some fashion. Property tax. As you know, we have spent 3 years plus working on property tax legislatively. At this point, it appears the leadership at our state capitol has no inclination to address the tax shift from commercial to residential. I am losing patience. I am losing hope that anything meaningful will happen this next session. 389 didn't do any good. It hurt small cities, really didn't impact us. Meanwhile, what's happening? It's kind of thrown around at the Capitol. I've heard it many, many times, mostly in private, where they talk about the blind widow on a fixed income. But let's talk about a widow. Let's talk about a single parent with kids. Let's talk about higher taxes. Let's throw in inflation. Inflation is killing us right now. Everyone is feeling a pinch of the stupid energy policy that we have in this country right now. So if we can't fix this issue legislatively, what can we do? And we need to do something. We need to do something to help the citizens of this county make it through this time period. And that is what this budget is addressing. I'll turn this over to the controller at this point. He can hand out our handout, and we'll start going through the clerk's suggested budget for 2023. Thank you for your time.
Don't trip, because we had to undo the cords last night and I didn't get them put back.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Speech.
What's a good speech?
Excellent speech. Outstanding speech. I echo what the clerk said wholeheartedly. It is incumbent upon us to provide real, genuine property tax relief for all Canyon County residents.
Well, the first page of the handout goes over some of the priorities in the suggested budget. Priority number one is property tax relief. Second priority is human capital investment. Priority number three, again, property tax relief. Priority number four, strategic capital investment. And number five, property tax relief. We're trying to send a message here in case it's not getting through. Property tax relief, the clerk and I have spent hours, days, weeks, months, years talking about property tax relief, real property tax relief. He talked about the shift. So page two, slide two, shows the shift. In 2016, there was a seismic change in the property tax landscape and the property tax structure. In 2016, the state legislature removed the index formula from the homeowner's exemption. So they capped and they froze the homeowner's exemption. So what this graph shows is a neighborhood commercial property, that's the blue line, and a 75 home residential subdivision. These properties are across the street from one another. They pay taxes to the same city, they pay taxes to the same county, they pay taxes to the same school district. And in 2017, the commercial property paid $137,000 in property tax. The 75 home subdivision paid a little less. They paid $124,000. That was in 2017. Those amounts, those lines have gone in drastically different directions, directly tied to the legislature's action of removing the index from the homeowner's exemption. The estimate for tax year 2022, the commercial property, their tax bill is going to be cut in half since 2017. 2017, the commercial property paid more, and again, it's estimated they're going to pay almost $100,000 less in property tax than the residential subdivision. These properties are across the street from each other. They pay to the same school, they pay to the same city, they pay to the same county.
It's wrong.
Property tax relief is thriving in Canyon County. Property tax relief is alive and well for certain classifications of property. And as one classification has seen their property tax plummet, other classifications have seen their property tax increase. It is a zero-sum game. Somebody's paying less, and to offset it, somebody's paying more. Any questions on page two there?
Just for the record, for someone that comes and listens to this, in 5 years, the property difference for commercial was went from $137,000 to $66,000.
So this is very specific to
a property.
A property.
Yeah.
A commercial property.
And a home that went from 124 to 164.
So this is the total, the collection paid by those 75 homes.
Yeah.
It's gone from 124 to 164.
Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, page number three talks a little bit about how that has transpired, how that's happened. Taxable valuations of owner-occupied homes are increasing at a much higher percentage in comparison to commercial properties. So we have a conventional three-bedroom, two-bath house. In 2021, the market value was $250,000. They're eligible for a homeowner's exemption of $125,000. That's a net taxable value of $125,000. The market value in 1 year increased 40%. The homeowner's exemption is capped. It's frozen. The homeowner's exemption did not increase. So the net taxable value, the value upon which your taxes will be based, in 1 year on that conventional three-bedroom, two-bath house increased 80%. The commercial property, their value in 2021 was $7.3 million. Their value increased to $7.6 million in 2022. They've also now been eligible for a personal property exemption. So their increase in net taxable value is 4%. When you have a group of properties that go up in value by 80% in 1 year compared to other properties that go up in value by only 4%, there will be a tax shift. Even as the county has held the line, we haven't taken 3% increases. We haven't taken new construction. We haven't taken foregone. The taxes have still swung, shifted because of these types of discrepancies in value increases.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does this include, when you're talking about that, because we haven't taken those percentages, but the other taxing districts have. So these numbers that you're sharing show the full look at it. So it could include increases from other taxing jurisdictions.
These increases here just relate to value.
Okay.
When those other jurisdictions increase, it affects this home even worse, even more, because now the home is not only picking up more of the original burden, they're picking up more of the extra, the excess that's being added onto.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurting them even worse because of that 80% increase in taxable value.
Commissioner White?
Here's a question, also a remark from the community meeting last night, is that the middle class is still subsidizing homes, or with the values gone up like they have, is that subsidy still an issue?
Did you look ahead at my slides, Commissioner White?
Oh, no.
Keep going then.
Okay. No. Sorry, Zach.
Don't be sorry. Great point.
I can't imagine what. No, I haven't.
Slide 4 talks about the different impact in the valuation for middle class conventional homes compared to higher value homes.
Okay.
So your conventional three bedroom, two bath house, again, the taxable value increase is going to be around 80%. On your $1 million custom home, the taxable value increase is 34%. Now that's still a considerable increase, but 34% is nowhere near the 80%. So let's equate that now, Madam Chair, as you were talking about, to tax dollars. We've been talking about values. Now we're going to talk about tax dollars. And we're estimating that for your conventional three-bedroom, two-bath house, a 26% increase in property taxes in 1 year. On this example here, a $408 1 year increase in their total property tax bill.
What's that assuming?
That is based on an 80% increase in taxable value. And it's based on taxing districts taking their 3% and their new construction. In comparison, the $1 million property, the projection is their property taxes would actually decrease $617. Because their value increase was only 34% compared to the 80% value for our starter homes, our conventional three-bedroom, two-bathroom homes. Individuals that likely can least afford a property tax increase. Individuals that are being hit the hardest by inflation, increases in the price of gas, food, rent, basics, those individuals, and that is a large majority of Canyon County home ownership, those three-bedroom, two-bath houses, they are looking at 20 to 30% increases in their property tax. Any questions? I think one of the arguments that we occasionally hear is, well, we can't shift the taxes. Well, that horse has left the barn a long time ago. The taxes have already shifted. So what this example runs through is, if the homeowner's exemption were indexed, if it were increased, if it were raised, look at the top example is legislation, procedure, policy as it is now, with the homeowner's exemption frozen at $125,000. The result is an increase in taxable value of 80%. If the homeowner's exemption were indexed, if it were allowed to move with sales prices, that means the homeowner's exemption could go up, it could go down. It depends on the market, the sales of homes. We're in an increasing environment, so if the homeowner's exemption were raised to $175,000, this property would still see an increase in taxable value of 40%. Even if you raise the homeowner's exemption, the taxable value increase would still be 40% for this property. The difference is it wouldn't be an 80% increase, but it would still be a 40% increase. Now we'll move more to talking specifics about the county's financial position and the 2023 suggested budget. Again, property tax relief for all is a top priority of the clerk's 2023 suggested budget. As we talked about, increased assessed valuations will result in significant property tax increases for conventional owner-occupied residences. Canyon County's frugality and judicious use of financial resources has resulted in increased fund balances. It's projected by the end of fiscal year 2022 for our governmental funds, those would be our current expense, our justice, our district court funds, basically everything excluding the enterprise fund, our core governmental funds, we're projecting a $40 million increase in fund balance from 2018. Canyon County, at the start of COVID, our financial plans, we planned for the worst. And thank goodness we've been able to weather the storm. We have experienced a significant number of unfilled vacant positions. When you have a vacant position, you're not paying out any cash. You're not paying out cash for salary. You're not paying out cash for benefits. You are holding that cash. And in a significant manner, because we've had so many vacant, unfilled positions, that's helped to increase the county's fund balance. And COVID-19 did interrupt, it did disrupt our revenue stream, but we've seen our revenues come back. Not to pre-COVID-19 levels, but our revenues are making a comeback. We've seen growth in our revenues. Next page, the Canyon County Clerk's suggested budget includes zero property tax dollars. Zero property tax dollars provides real property tax relief for all property taxpayers. Now we're not taking new construction, 0, 3%. We're talking no, none, zero property tax dollars for fiscal year 2023. So responsible financial management has led us to where we're at today with increased fund balances. The county has multiple and diverse sources of other revenues that provide financial resources for operations. So with zero property tax dollars, the budget is funded by $44 million from intergovernmental revenues. Those would include sales tax revenues from the state. Those would include also an allocation of ARPA monies, other revenues we receive from other governments. Our charges for services revenues will generate over $20 million. Those will include our fees for landfill services, our fees for recording documents, and other revenues that the county receives for charges for services. Other miscellaneous interest, permits, fines, fees, over $7 million. And then an allocation of $54 million of fund balance to balance the budget. A total budget of $126,784,262. Next page provides a detailed breakdown of those budgets grouped by classification or category. And the following page shows a pie chart with 40% of the budget for public safety, 9% for public works, 4% for culture and recreation, 41% for general government services, and 6% for health, welfare, and indigency. And the following page breaks those down even further by office or department. So I'll touch on a few of the ones that have changed more significantly. The American Rescue Plan Act, the 2023 suggested budget includes almost $10 million of American Rescue Plan Act monies, a large share of that for capital investments, including a new roof at the animal shelter, a county warehouse building, and also architectural and engineering fees for a possible new county administration building. The assessor's reappraisal budget, the increase there is related to an aerial flight that will be completed and paid for in fiscal year 2023 that provides the aerial images that are so helpful when assessing properties, reviewing properties, valuing properties. Also, an office remodel for the assessor's office is included there. Our facilities budget, the increases there are related to new positions within the facilities department, and also possible real estate purchases and other investments in our campus and our facilities. The Canyon County dispatch budget, the increase there is related to an equipment grant that will be paid for by the Idaho Public Safety Communications Committee. Capital investments, the decrease there is $3 million, and the $3 million included in the capital investment line is for the completion of the Fair Expo building. We don't anticipate that'll be complete by September 30th, so we need to budget for any carryover, any amount needed from October 1st forward to complete construction. In the clerk, auditor, and recorder budget, the increases there are related to legislation. The county no longer has the authority to levy property tax for indigent purposes, specifically indigent medical purposes. However, we still have responsibility related to indigent medical activities, including burials and other things. So the two carryover positions from indigent medical and the burial fees have now been included under the clerk, auditor, and recorder portion of the budget. Additionally, any fees, any revenue repayment that the county receives will be accounted for in the current expense fund as well. Also included in the clerk's portion there is $175,000 for physical space needs related to election functions. Any other questions? Any Questions on page 12? Excuse me, page 11.
I don't think so.
Okay, next page. Consolidated elections. Also, consolidated elections includes $175,000 for physical space needs for election activities. The coroner's budget, the increase in the coroner's budget includes the addition of a part-time position for fiscal year 2023. The county fair, the county fair budget shows an overall decrease. The 2022 budget included monies for the construction of the Fair Expo building. There's no monies budgeted in 2023 in the fair for the Fair Expo building. However, there is $1.5 million budgeted for the site improvement project at the fair. And those expenditures are in turn reimbursed through the Caldwell Urban Renewal Agency. So any activity related to the site improvement project is included in that budget and reimbursed from Urban Renewal. County fleet, the increase there relates to the addition of a full-time position and a part-time position. And also in the county fleet budget, we've increased the budget for gasoline for 2023 by $150,000. The development services, the year-over-year budget increase is related to additional personnel positions in response to increased demand and increased workload. Next page, page 13, the emergency management budget includes the addition of one full-time position. The human resources budget also includes the addition of one full-time position, the compensation and benefits manager position. Information technology is undertaking a telephone upgrade project. They'd like to undertake that for fiscal year 2023. I think that's important for the entirety of the county. So that would represent the majority of the increase there in the information technology budget. Earlier I mentioned indigent medical care and assistance. That has now been absorbed into the clerk, auditor, recorder portion of the budget. Juvenile detention. During fiscal year 2022, there were four detention officer positions added back into that budget. Also for 2023, we're including an additional admin support position, a full-time position for juvenile detention. That's a position that they've had in previous years. They chose to unfund and now feel the need to add that position back. Also, in the juvenile detention, we've included capital projects, gym floor remodel, and a shower remodel project. County landfill. The increases there relate to an addition of a full-time position and also a major capital project, the gas collection system at the landfill. And the landfill, again, is an enterprise fund. It's funded entirely by user fees. No property tax dollars are allocated to landfill functions. Motor vehicle. The budget there has decreased. The 2022 budget included roughly $300,000 for possible physical space needs. That has not been included in the 2023 budget. The increase in our parks, cultural, natural resources budget is related to hiring and retaining qualified personnel. So increases there for personnel investments. In the prosecuting attorney's office, there is a recommended computer replacement schedule that they're implementing, And also, office furniture and a remodel of the office there is included in their 2023 budget. Public defense, public defender. We've seen increases in our conflict counsel costs. So the 2023 budget for public defender is a little over $7 million. The sheriff's office budget. During fiscal year 2022, there was approved by a majority of the board a 10% COLA for detention deputies. That's included there. Also, there were some significant items for public safety for 2022 that were allocated to ARPA monies. Those have been moved back to the sheriff's office budget for 2023. Those would include $2.2 million for medical services, $840,000 for food, and over $500,000 for cars. In prior years, again, 2022, they were paid for with ARPA monies. For 2023, we're moving them back to the sheriff's office budget. The Southwest District Health, the county's annual contribution there, $2.2 million, has been moved to the ARPA fund, away from the Southwest District Health Fund. Almost there. The treasurer's office, the budgetary increase there is related to an update to provide greater public access to assessment and property tax information. The trial court administrator, we've included for 2023 three new full-time positions and two new part-time marshal positions there, and three full-time positions. The waterways fund was awarded a grant for a new boat, and we're hopeful to complete that in 2023, and the boat will be paid for, roughly 80% will be paid for with a grant that they've been awarded. So the total county expenditure budget, $126,784,262. Also, there are two separate taxing districts that the commissioners adopt budgets for, the Melba Gopher District and the Pest Control District. And with a suggestion of zero property tax dollars, we're suggesting $6,000 for Melba Gopher and $271,729 for the Pest Control budget. Page 16 provides more detail and information on the American Rescue Plan Act. The American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 provides that coronavirus local fiscal recovery funds may be used for the provision of government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue due to COVID-19. And it's estimated that the county will have lost a total of over $32 million in revenue by the end of fiscal year 2022 from COVID-19 circumstances. So those funds, those monies are available for the provision of government services. So in the 2023 budget, we've included again $2 million for the animal shelter roof capital investment project, $1.5 million for a county warehouse project, $1.6 million for architectural and engineering fees for a potential county administration building, $2.2 million for the county's annual contribution to Southwest District Health, $1 million for the provision of county insurance, and $1.4 million for the county's annual Pod 6 inmate housing lease payment. So all ARPA funds are expended for the provision of government services under the revenue replacement category. Our human capital investment. Well, the clerk's suggested budget for fiscal year 2023 includes $4.2 million invested in our current personnel. And what we're proposing is a COLA of $3,000. That would be a $3,000 increase in the minimum, midpoint, and maximum salary for every county position. So the $3,000 increase is consistent through all county positions. So a customer service position with a minimum of roughly $30,000, that minimum would increase 10% to $33,000. A county position with a minimum salary of $50,000 would increase to $53,000. A county position with a minimum salary of $100,000 would increase to $103,000. The COLA, the $3,000 added to, is consistent throughout all county positions. And if you look at that on a percentage basis, the percentage basis helps greatly the entry level, the customer service, the admin support positions. Again, the customer service position, the minimum would increase by 10%. In addition to that, for the personnel that have been with us for an additional year, would qualify for the step advancement as well. So not only would they get the COLA, the 3,000 in the range, they would also be eligible for the step as well. The idea, the hope, the focus there was to target dollars where we feel individuals are being most greatly impacted by inflationary forces. Any questions there on that portion of the salary proposal?
Crickets.
Okay. Also included is 1 point.
Okay, I'll ask you one.
Okay.
How come you decided to go with flat numbers versus percentages this year?
We decided to go with flat numbers because that provides the greatest assistance where we feel that it is most needed. It provides the greatest percentage for those entry-level positions. The hope is that it will help us with hiring. We can now post those entry-level positions at a minimum salary that's 10% higher. And we hope that that will increase also our retention as we invest in those customer service administrative support positions.
If I may.
Go ahead.
So last year we did the 7.5% across the board. I wasn't totally happy with that. And the reason, well, number one, we tied that to what we could see coming with inflation and what we could see coming with what our competition for help was doing. What I didn't like about the 7.5 across the board scenario is that, of course, do the math, the higher you go on the scale, the more money you're talking about. And so I wanted to scale that back. In fact, I talked about, okay, let's pick a number. Let's say 90,000, and we have no increase there. Well, that wasn't very popular, and people thought, well, you need to be consistent. So why are we doing this? And Zach explained that, but it's you sat through a lot of information here. The $3,000 across the board is a larger percentage for your $30,000 people as opposed to your $100,000 people. So I like that much better than a percentage.
Okay.
$1.2 million for new and reclassified positions. 4 new positions in buildings and grounds, 1 new position in the landfill, 3 full-time, 2 part-time positions for the trial court administrator, 1 full-time, 1 new part-time for fleet, 1 new position in human resources, 1 new position in juvenile detention, 1 additional position in the sheriff's office,
one position for emergency management and one new part-time position in the coroner's office.
Only question on that is, yesterday or the day before, we approved hiring the human resources position early. So that is that wage and benefit position that's listed here, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So for whoever's listening, we did already institute that position, but it's not filled yet.
Not filled yet, but we will need to make sure it's included in the 2023 budget.
Yes.
For our capital investments, we've been through some of these with the ARPA monies, the animal shelter roof, county warehouse, the A&E fees for a potential administration building, our Pod 6 inmate lease, $3 million for the landfill gas collection project, $3 million, that's an estimate to finish the completion of the county fair expo building.
I'm so sorry to go back again. I asked a lot of questions at the last, during those budget requests about positions that hadn't been filled in years. And so part of your budget is to leave all of those positions that haven't been filled in years, correct?
There have been positions that were unfunded.
Right.
There were positions in the prosecutor's office that were unfunded.
And then refunded. Oh no, in this?
There were two positions that are still unfunded in the prosecutor's office.
That was from their wage increase request?
It was related to that change, yes.
Okay. But the sheriff's office, they had a few positions that were old. And just confirming, those are still included in this budget?
The sheriff's office positions, yes, are still included.
Okay.
Madam
Plus
Chair.
One new one.
Plus a new customer service position.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
And I did have a conversation with Marv pursuant to that, and he was appreciative that those were left in the budget, indicating that, and we have a representative here, that if they could find the personnel to hire for those positions, they were needed and not just remaining vacant for the sake of being vacant. So that was a follow-up conversation. Thank you.
No, but part of that, I know they're appreciative of it, but we had that discussion that if they've been empty since, I mean, some of them more than 5 years, and so something has to change with the position. At this point, you can almost argue that it's not fillable. And so we're still requesting funds on it, but I just wanted to know if they're still in there. They are. Thank you.
Okay. On the capital investments, the $1.5 million for the completion of the site improvement project at the Fair Expo building, $566,000 for a landfill loader, $285,000 for a landfill excavator, and $1.3 million for facilities, capital, construction, and real estate acquisition. And then $984,000 for public safety and other general county vehicles.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
Zach, can you talk about, there's been a question recently from a concerned citizens group who was looking at the landfill budget and the $2.5 million in there. I think it was for property acquisition. Is that being carried over to this budget or not?
No, it's not being carried over to 2023.
Okay, thank you.
Last page, final page, shows the distribution of the budget by fund. Fund accounting is the basis for governmental accounting. It's designed to provide clarity, to provide accountability, to provide separation between our various county functions. And again, the 2023 property tax dollars levied column shows zero. No property tax dollars levied. We also have a column there for revenue from sources other than property tax. County is funded by more than just property tax. We have varied multiple sources of revenue. We're projecting over $72 million of revenue will still flow into the county to provide cash to support operations. Combine that with use of fund balance, and we're still projecting for our total county operating funds, excuse me, the calculated fund balance at the end of 2023 would be $38 million. So this proposal, this suggestion, still leaves all of our county funds with positive fund balances going forward into the future. It's important, it's vital, it's essential that the county manage our fund balance, we manage our cash position. A budget is a plan. That's what it is. Cash really drives what we do. And we constantly evaluate, analyze our cash position. If you have a vacant position, you're not paying out any cash. We are concerned with managing the county's cash, protecting the county's cash so that we have sufficient cash to respond to an emergency if needed. But yet it's not, in my opinion, our responsibility to build up an excessive amount of cash. So in an effort to manage our cash balance, we're proposing we apply cash already in the bank to support the 2023 budget, and thereby leaving property tax dollars, leaving money in the pockets of residents so they can spend as they see fit, as they see best. With crazy inflationary times, we want to leave as much money as we possibly can in the pockets of the good people who support us and pay our bills.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
Zach, thank you for your comments and the narrative that you provided in going through your budget. I would love to have those comments available on the budget sheet so that if people make a request, they don't have to go back and listen to the audio. They have the information that you provided in written form right on that document. Having said that, I appreciate your comments also about the discretionary income that will return to taxpayers. Did you run the zero property tax dollars levied against the scenarios that you provided in the beginning on your conventional three-bedroom, two-bedroom house and what that two-bathroom house and what that would do to their property tax?
The county is one piece of the total property tax bill, and it's around 20 to 30%. So an estimate, a projection, if the county levied zero and other taxing districts took their 3%, took their new construction, I think that conventional house would probably see at the bottom line no change in their property tax.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we can only control what we levy.
That's and I understand.
We can control.
Right. I just didn't know if your numbers in the beginning were a reflection of the end result on your budget, you know, with the outcome of not levying those property tax dollars. So thank you.
And by the way, to add to that, that is, if that was the case, let's say, and it could happen, I hope it doesn't, I hope our demonstration of what we could do in this county carries over into some other taxing entities. But let's say that scenario plays out. That is a great example for not only the taxpayer, but our legislators of how this tax, the way our tax system is broken. And this is a great demonstration of, okay, Canyon County didn't take a nickel, not one nickel, and our taxes stayed the same or stayed close to the same. How is that? And that's quite an explanation that needs to happen. We've gone through partial of that today, and I'm sure you all said don't totally understand that yet, and I get it. But we need to make we need to demonstrate how this works. The other thing we do, the controller and I spend a lot of time going through scenarios. One of the scenarios that we went through was, what if our economy crashes? What if it crashes right away? And what if we don't see some of the revenues we've been seeing? My question to this board would be, do you want to have a mountain of cash sitting in a bank to cover that scenario? Or do you think we ought to be in the same boat that everybody else is that are paying for us to be here? And my answer to that is we need to take the same road everyone else does. We need to provide property tax relief. We need to do it now. It's real. And again, part of this is we need to provide the demonstration so people outside of us can understand what's going on with property tax, and we need a fix.
Madam Chair. Thank you for your comments. That is a scenario that was presented at a Canyon County Republican Women's Luncheon, and the question was, what do we do for the emergency? And the answer partially from those legislators was that we have to continue to tax in case there's a rainy day problem, and where you stand depends on where you sit. But from a citizen's standpoint, to have that accumulation in anticipation when you have $1 billion in surplus, it probably didn't sit very well. So thank you for your comments, and I don't know if you attended that or not, but it was an interesting scenario. And this was from a JFAC member, so it was an interesting discussion. And I agree that the county has to ride the wave with the citizens, and where they have to tighten the belt, so does the county. So they are the funding source.
I'll just state that it's a lot to absorb, and I want to take some time to go through. Is there a way in PowerPlan to print a comparison between the suggested and the requested and the suggested?
Yes.
Side by side?
Yes, the scenarios will be available side by side. And that's
okay.
Available for the commissioners and for elected officials, department administrators as well.
Okay.
I think we're scheduled to reconvene the week of July 25th.
Okay.
I believe to go and through this again and to prepare a tentative budget for publication.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
And I sped through my question, but Zach, is there a way when we get down to that tentative budget and even the final budget presentation, a handout? I'm still old school enough, and that's what people were asking for at our meeting last night. Is there a way for you to have those comments? I think it would help speed up the time, answer some of the potential questions on there about increases or decreases, because there's both in those budgets. But if you had a short narrative, it explained what those were, it may save you time. And then to have those budget to actuals and the comparison side by side, it doesn't sound like it's difficult to do. It's a suggestion that might help save time at those meetings and generate transparency and good faith.
We'll certainly consider it.
Commissioner White.
So you've probably already done the math, so I don't have to. So you're keeping a reserve of around 30, what is from, so you've dropped our reserve.
38. It's projected at 38
okay.
At the end.
So, and that enabled, we still have a 38% reserve, and that enabled.
Not a 38%.
I mean, anyway.
38 million.
Thank you. And, but that still is allowing us to do the zero property tax and keeps that kind of a fund balance, okay?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
As a segue, Zach, what's the percent fund balance then?
Well, 30, take 40 divided by 126. So that's probably around 30%.
Thank you. Zach, I have 31.7. Is that still copacetic with you?
And again, we're talking here also about budget.
Mm-hmm.
not actuals, not cash. These are budget numbers.
And I understand. We're just calculating the percent fund balance. So
again, but this is based off of a budget, not actuals.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah, Commissioner White was correct. It's just 30% using the actual budget numbers with the projections. It'd be exactly 30%. Where is the allocations for the community groups that requested funding?
That would be included within the general department.
Where at?
That would be on page 13. That would give you the grand total. It's $517,888. If you drill down into power plan, it will break that out line item by line item.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
And I would suggest, thank you for the location of that information and the question, because for the public to know, they don't have access to power plan. So for them to have the ability to see what their tax dollars are funding and the return on investment, we did change the process this year. I think that's important to have those broken out line by line on who we funded and at what level.
How come we talked about the ARPA money and the reporting requirements, and so we removed construction projects from it, was my understanding last year. And this year there's a few construction projects in the proposed ARPA funding. And we're good with the tracking on all of that. And this still will leave the money that we're projecting for the admin building?
Good question. Insightful question. Thank you. There's different categories of uses for ARPA money.
Mm-hmm.
The broadest, the widest category is revenue replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've progressed, we've been able to identify actual revenue lost. So every ARPA dollar that we spend is under the revenue replacement category. And we've separated that out into its own separate accounting fund. So we can easily identify where the ARPA money was spent, and we can't comply with reporting requirements because it's all as revenue replacement spending.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
And I am in power plan now, Zach, and I'm looking, jumping back to those community groups. Those are not all listed in one section there. Can you please provide the board with a list, as we've done historically, on the name of the group, what the request was, what was funded, and who was not funded, so that, because there,
but we don't want to say funded yet. It's only suggested.
The proposal.
Yeah.
Then the proposal for those amounts that the clerk suggested budget provides. And then could you also provide a list of what was not funded for review? Sometimes the coordination, recognizing the effort that and the dedication that you've put into creating this budget, there were obviously things that were requested that were not funded, so that would, I think, be helpful too. And for instance, on facilities, for their prioritization of projects and in trying to have them manage what they do, there was a clear ask on his part, I know this year, from every office and department And so he's going to try and triage those on based on what came through on the suggested budget, and it's in an attempt to safeguard the sanctity of the budget and then prioritize those requests as they've come in. So having that list readily available in his instance would be a good ask and for the board. Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
Thank you.
If I could have a closing statement. We spent a lot of time on this. we've been over this, over it. We go home at night, think about it, change our mind the next morning. I don't know how many times the controller's on one page, I'm on another, back and forth. And this kind of came together just a few days ago, where we got on the same page, we agreed, we have a comfort zone, we're good with it. Number one, I would like to thank Zach personally. He's done one heck of a job. He sweated over this. He's had to put up with me because we've bantered this around. I would also like to thank all of the offices and all of the departments, with maybe one exception. They've all been very good to work with. And we have met with almost all of them multiple times. We've gone over, we vet this very closely. We know their business, not as well as they do, but we know it pretty well. And again, I'd like to thank all those folks. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm actually pretty proud. I won't call them out by name, but the number of offices and departments that we have that talk about the taxpayer. In other words, they are very cognizant of what they are doing, what their budget requests are, and how they're spending their money with the taxpayer in mind. And I'm telling you what, I'm quite proud of all of the people here in Canyon County that are doing the very best they can with the dollars that they have and trying to put out a product for the taxpayers of Canyon County. So my appreciation, I thought there'd be more of you here today, but my appreciation to everybody. And again, you're right, Madam Chair, you have a lot to chew on. We will be available to answer questions, and thank you for your time.
Can you send us what the statutory like the dates are? I know that we have a schedule set, but this is a lot to ponder, and I just want to make sure that we have time to review it. Obviously, I agree, you've spent a ton of time, blood, sweat, and tears, and I want to make sure that I understand it. And so if you could provide what those dates are, and then it looks like from the plan that there's a meeting on Monday. When I return on the 25th, and then on the 29th, to approve it for publication.
Madam Chair, we pretty much need to stick with those dates. So you've got the rest of this week, you've got all of next week.
Will you provide what the dates are?
We can.
Okay, thank you. All right, anything else?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That completes this meeting.